Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So today we're going back to Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in the 10th canto, chapter 16, and we're doing text 59 through 62. And 62 is up there? Okay. I can't. So I'll read 59, 60, 61, and their translations. Bhavan hi karanam tatra sarvagyo jagarishwara anugraham nigraham va manyase tad vidhehina. Translation. O Lord, you are the omniscient Lord of the universe. You are the actual cause of freedom from illusion. Please arrange for us whatever you consider proper, whether it be mercy or punishment. Text 60. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Yakarnya vacha praha bhagavan karya manusha natrasteyam tvaya sarpa samudram yahima chiram svad natya patya daradyo gonribir bujate nadi. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, after hearing Kaliya's words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is acting the role of a human being, replied, O serpent, you may not remain here any longer. Go back to the ocean immediately, accompanied by your retinue of children, wives, other relatives, and friends. Let this river be enjoyed by the cows and humans. Text 61. Ye etat sam smarain martyas tubhyam mar anusasanam kirtayan ubhayo sandhyur nayusmad bayam apnuyat. Translation. If a mortal being attentively remembers my command to you to leave Vrindavan and go to the ocean, and narrates this account at sunrise and sunset, he will never be afraid of you. Okay, text 62. Yosmin snatva mad akride. Devadim starpaye jalai. Upasyamam smaran archet. Sarva papai pramuchyate. Yo. Yaha. Who? Asmin. In this. Kaliya's lake in the Jamuna River. Snatva. Bathing. Mat akride. The place of my pastime. Deva Adin, the demigods and other worshipable personalities. Tarpayet, gratifies. Jalahi, with the water of that lake. Upasya, observing a fast. Mam, me. Smaran, remembering. Archet performs worship. Sarva papahi, from all sinful reactions. Pamuchyate, he becomes freed. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. If one bathes in this place of my pastimes and offers the water of this lake to the demigods and other worshipful personalities. Or if one observes a fast and duly worships and remembers me, he is sure to become free from all sinful reactions. Purport. According to the Acharyas, the Lord spoke this verse to make it clear to Kaliya that he could by no means remain in the Jamuna Lake. Although the Lord had mercifully pardoned the serpent and ordered him to go to the ocean with all his associates, Kaliya should not even consider requesting to remain in the lake, because it was now to become a holy place for spiritual pilgrims. The translation you can repeat. If one bathes in this place of my pastimes and offers the water of this lake to the demigods and other worshipable personalities, or if one observes a fast and duly worships and remembers me, he is sure to become free from all sinful reactions. Amaginatu medandasya gananjana salakaya chaksuran militam dena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale svaya bhakatamayam datati sva patandikam Panchakalpa, Tirubhishcha, Kripasindubhya, Evacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Sivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, yesterday Dharmatma asked me to give class today, and we're trying to decide whether to continue with the Chaitanya Charitamrita or go back to Srimad Bhagavatam. So this class is kind of a hybrid class, because we're still going to be talking about Srila Prabhupada, the festival, the opening. And this as well, we can see this actually is verses, as all verses are very important. So what did Krishna do? He sent Kaliya and everyone associated with him to leave Vrindavan. Why? Because he was offending all of Krishna's associates, all of the devotees, everyone. He was being offensive. He was forced out of Vrindavan. This is our situation. Everything here, there are lessons for us. One thing I'll mention, just because I can. Sukha, in this verse 60, Prabhupada, Si Sukha Uvacha. I told you way back when, my first service to Prabhupada was reading him Krishna book. And after every afternoon, reading for about an hour a day. This was Prabhupada's method, hearing Krishna book. This is what it says here. You remember these pastimes. All sinful reactions, all your sinful activities are gone. Everything Prabhupada gave us was a way to become purified, to become Krishna conscious. I was, Daiva Shakti gave me a copy of Vrindavan Dham as it is. I thought, now that I've been here for a few years, I should understand Prabhupada's guidelines, Prabhupada's instructions. It's what we've been hearing about now, what we hear about all the time. I said, after reading for a week, when Prabhupada saw me, he said, Sutta Goswami. I was reading Krishna book. So Prabhupada, look, this was how Prabhupada dealt with us. Encouraging. He would see that one thing you're doing very nicely, he would encourage that. Yesterday we were talking, Bhima Prabhu was talking. I actually had a question yesterday, because it was said how the desires, I forget the point it was. Prabhupada gave service. Akoyananda Who was the other one in there, in the room?
Hansaduta.
So we were talking about, and this goes back, way back, psychophysical nature. Prabhupada was so expert in engaging everyone according to their nature. But in the story he told, who wanted to stay? Hansaduta wanted to stay.
Yeah.
What did Prabhupada tell him to do? Who was here yesterday anyway? Prabhupada told him to leave, right? And go preach. What did Akshayananda want to do? He wanted to go preach. What did Prabhupada tell him to do?
Stay here.
Told him to stay. We may think we understand what's best for us. This is a point. Prabhupada told both of them to do the exact opposite of what they wanted to do. This shows it's not up to us, especially in the early stages, to decide what's best for us. I can use myself as an example again and again and again. I left Prabhupada twice. Each time he told me not to. You want to know what happens when you don't follow the instructions of your spiritual master? Simple little instruction, any instruction. That was a big instruction. Twice he told me. Took me to 70 years old to be able to come and live in this place as a result of not following one instruction. You know what I did this morning, an hour before coming here? I shaved. Why did I shave? Yesterday I told that story about Prabhupada. A fever of 104, laying in bed for a week, not eating. He came out to speak. First thing he did was shave. This is the society that Prabhupada created, his ISKCON society. He definitely wanted it different, huh, from every other Vaishnava society. He wanted an international society of Vaishnavas that weren't hippies. He wanted us clean shaved. I was with Prabhupada long, long time. Again, there were certain things you didn't do. I did many things for him. I would put all his long underwear on him, could put his socks on him as he would sit in the bed in the winter weather. But there were some things, and they were all his very personal, bodily things. He did it himself, cut his nails. I had to shave his head, of course, every 2 weeks. Prabhupada set the example. If we follow those instructions, all the different instructions, very closely, you can make wonderful advancement. But if we pick and choose, you're not going to get the same result. I think it was more here than anywhere. It is Prabhupada's home. All the other temples, they're home away from home. You say Vrindavan, wherever Krishna's being talked about, worshipped, fed, that's Vrindavan. But this was Prabhupada's home. And Daiva Shakti, she's been here so long, she has described, as others have described, Prabhupada gave many ideas of what to do here. Many of them are the same as everywhere. Mangalarti. He had all those guest rooms. I can imagine Prabhupada's, if you're in a room, in a temple, don't be in your room. You're always out doing something. The only thing your room was for was sleeping. Prabhupada wrote a letter here in September. September. When was the opening? April. May, June, July. 5 months later. He said, everyone living there must attend Mangal Arti. And if they don't, they can starve. Prabhupada didn't want anyone to starve. But Prabhupada emphasized, he always had a way of emphasizing things. When my godbrother in at London told Prabhupada there were rats. Can we kill the rats? Prabhupada said, well, we should kill you. Not the rats, we should kill you. For wanting to kill the rats and for having a temple, an altar where rats are going. We should kill you. You don't know how to be clean. Like he said to me, you'll be intelligent when you're 80. I've been ringing this bell for hours. He lets you know what you were doing was wrong, and then he would leave it at that. But the morning program was the most essential program in the temple. It's not a ritual. I said, you all know, I was the only person wasn't allowed to go to Mangal Artik. And in a typical Western way, as soon as you're not allowed to do something, you want to do it. Right? So even I was with Prabhupada. What business do I have being at Mangal Artik? I was with the pure devotee 24 hours a day with no understanding. So many instructions. Prabhupada had everything so nicely thought out. I've already forgot one little item. Divashakti told me she can correct me on my, as I say it. You know, everything, what the deities were being prepared for every meal, all the different meals, how many preparations. We know initially every deity had a plate. He had an idea for the evening, the last offering. Last offering, all so many deep fried preparations. Samosas, kachori, pakoras, puris, halava. What was his reasoning? He said, because in the morning, all they have there, you go there in the morning, what do you get? Cake, gulab jamun, no gulab, rasgulla, rasmalai, cake, cheesecake. He wanted that there would be savories for everyone to buy in the morning. So the last offering, all savories. And what happens to it? It gets locked up, not distributed to all the nice Saivites here. No, locked up and sell it in the morning to whoever wants it. So everything, he was following everything that was going on. But he saw all these rooms, people are sleeping. Prabhupada had to deal with us sleeping all around the world. You've heard, I've told so many stories. He didn't like us sleeping. And he didn't want... I've been connected here in Hawaii Temple. Hawaii Temple is a place... No GBC wants to be GBC in Hawaii. They consider it a lost cause. 1972... Next month will be the 50th anniversary. Prabhupada installed Panchatattva deities in Hawaii. The first Panchatattva in our ISKCON society. Installed in the most perfect place, Hawaii. Because they need Panchatattva. They're very, very merciful. When you're there, you wonder how things go on. They're very kind. That's 50 years ago. But I see 50 years... It's not the big, big things. It's also all the little things. Chanting your rounds, getting up early in the morning, coming to class. I told you, I was with Prabhupada, what's 2.5 years? 700? 900 days or so, somewhere in there. I never missed one class. Never. Right there, sitting on the floor. And as much as I was always... and still I'm always in Maya, my consciousness, my mind's all over, I would look at Prabhupada. I would just look, sit there and look as best as I could. One day I was right there. And I was sick, but I had malaria, but I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know what malaria was. But I was sick. I remember that day, I would play the mridanga, and Prabhupada would chant, but my hands were like not wanting to stay up. I was just totally drained. That wasn't the bad part. The bad part was Prabhupada was giving class. And I nodded. I nodded. And of course, Prabhupada saw it, and he looked at me. He said, if you're tired, go to your room and sleep. Of course, I didn't move. And somehow or other, I was able not to nod anymore. Of course, and that was in September 74, when Prabhupada was very, very ill. So as he started to recover, I became very, very ill. So that was the first day. Then later on, of course, he saw me there, lying on the floor. I called the servants' quarters. That's the prasadam room? Is that what you call the prasadam room, Daivashakti, that little room? Okay. Well, Prabhupada would walk through the servants' quarters and go to the bathroom, and he saw me lying there. And I got my reprieve from Prabhupada. And my godbrothers were sitting, eating mounds of prasadam. We were young, you know, in our 20s. We ate mounds of prasadam. And they were eating. And Prabhupada was, he would always, you know, like, walk through, not wanting you to do anything. You're taking prasadam, so he wouldn't make a scene. But he always saw everything. Everywhere he went, he saw everything. So he saw me lying on the floor, literally dying. And he said, anyone taking care of Shruta Kirti? And I'm like, he said, call a doctor. He said, call him a doctor. He said, get a bed. Prabhupada had them get a bed for me. He said, so he can lie in the bed. He said, and bring him a nimbu pani. It was the sweetest nimbu pani I ever had. It was ordered by Prabhupada because I was lying there. So the reciprocation is always there. But if you want reciprocation, you have to follow all of these details. They're not insignificant. I told you, Prabhupada saw a devotee as he was walking by not offering obeisances. He said that's the beginning of his fall down. How many times we come in and out of here before Prabhupada, before the deities? So they down. Very good. And it'll increase your strength in Krishna consciousness, following all these details that Prabhupada gave. So I can only consider that here in Vrindavan especially, Prabhupada's home, he gave us a lot of instructions. I haven't gone through all of them, but there are many things there. Kirtan, very, very important, but also was the preaching. He wanted people to come. He said, this place should be filled with Goswamis. Not necessarily in cloth, he said, but the mentality. He said, the mentality of everyone living here should be that of the six Goswamis. And when people come, they should hear. Here, this is seeing, but they should also hear. I think we have Hindi class, Bhagavad Gita class. Prabhupada wanted these things. All the time, classes going on, people can come and sit and hear class. Daivashakti told me a story yesterday. How much Prabhupada would details. We say that, right? When it's English, you say the devil's in the details. But everything is, Krishna consciousness is in the details. Because we're personalist. That's the one thing I learned from Prabhupada. Everything is personal. Everything. So when it started here, there was Cook. Was he Prabhupada's godbrother? Yeah. So he was the first cook cooking for the deities. Now, of course, there's only, you know, a few dozen devotees here. He's doing the cooking. But somehow or other, there was ghee missing every day. 100 mils? 200? 200 mils of ghee was disappearing. It was missing. Somebody was taking it. Prabhupada didn't have to leave his room. But by making different inquiries, he understood it was being taken by the cook, his godbrother. He was putting it somewhere in his umbrella. He was hiding it. 200 mils of ghee every day. And taking it. He wasn't taking it for himself. He was taking it to Emily Tulla. You see. But Prabhupada stopped it. I remember here when he's the scraps in the kitchen, when you cut the cauliflowers and the broccoli and the cabbage, all the coors and everything. So one of the locals was coming and he was taking the scraps for his cows. And I thought, well, that's nice. Prabhupada said, why is he taking the scraps for his cows? They're our scraps. They're our scraps for our cows. Nothing outside. No, everything here. The Mukut, well, he'd love what's going on in the front. But he said, we should be doing everything. He called them Karmis. He said, I don't want Karmi cooks in the restaurant. What to speak of our kitchen in the deity kitchen. He said, everything we should be do ourselves. And he said, we can make the deity outfits, Mukut business, everything. He said, sell Murdungas, cartels. We know from the beginning, you know, Prabhupada was telling Sally how to make money with prasadam. Go to New York, he said, you can make a fortune selling prasadam, kachuris, samosas. So Prabhupada, everything, all the details. But he didn't like seeing Krishna Balaram's property going outside, people taking advantage. Not to be done. I wanted to read one little thing. I'll read and speak. I found this when Divashakti gave me this yesterday. And I was going through it, and there was this exchange between Rishikeshananda. He's a godbrother of ours. I remember him from 1973, 74, 75 in Mayapur. When he came to India, he was Prabhupada's disciple, but there was no shelter. When it was Ban Maharaj, huh? Ban Maharaj gave him sannyas. Huh? And of course, he was in the Gaudiya Math temple. He's learning all their different ways and everything. Anything at one point, finally, he decided he wanted to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada. You know, now all the Westerners were coming to India. He was a Westerner, very intelligent. And so he came to Mayapur, and of course Prabhupada immediately, didn't matter what anyone had done. Imagine he took sannyas from Prabhupada's godbrother. Prabhupada said, all right, Prabhupada took him back. So then, because he wanted Prabhupada, he said, the Upadeshamrita. This Rishikeshananda was responsible, very responsible for getting Upadeshamrita, the nectar of instruction, printed. He said he would help Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yes, he knew Bengali. He had been living for some years here in India. Anyway, they're speaking. Prabhupada's talking about Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, other books they're given. He said to understand Kabe Hama Bhuj Jaba Se Yugala Pariti. The conjugal love of Radha and Krishna is not ordinary. So then Rishikeshananda, now he spent a lot of time with Ambam Maharaj. And he says to Prabhupada about Nichalila, Gurudev. This is the first thing. We never heard this term Gurudev. This definitely came from Prabhupada didn't like Gurudev. There's letters he told Jayapataka. Gurudev, he said, impersonal. Prabhupada, you'd call him Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. Gurudev, he said, that very general and impersonal. We hear it a lot now. Why? It's a Prabhupada instruction. See, all these, so many, there's thousands of them. Prabhupada set everything up very specifically. Anyway, he says, and he says it over and over as he's speaking, Gurudev, Gurudev. About Nichalila, Prabhupada says, and Rishikesh Ananda says, well, Siddha Pranali, Astakaliya Leela, Smaran Bhajan. Is it true, Gurudev? Prabhupada said, yes, but who's a Siddha? Right away, Prabhupada's not going to get trapped. Yeah? He says, who's the Siddha? Rishikesh says, well, one out of millions of seekers, Manushyanam Sahasreshu. But this is our goal. Yes, Gurudev? Prabhupada says, yes, we're the followers of Rupa Raghunath. This is the highest understanding. Dasudas Anudas in Radha Krishna Leela. Rishikesh says, well, what about Siddha Pranali? How to qualify? Who will give it? The Guru will give. You just chant Hare Krishna. This was Prabhupada. Rishikesh. I mentioned the story of Chota Krishnadas who tried to kill himself by jumping into Manasaganga when he heard only his guru, who had already departed, could give him Siddha Pranali. How to receive this eternal information? Stayi Bhava, Gurudev. Prabhupada says, the guru will give. There is no material consideration about guru is here or there. In other words, Prabhupada can give to his disciple. That's what he's saying. There's no material consideration. Rishikesh gave him material. My guru's gone. Imagine. One of the first things we learned. Never gone. Prabhupada says, then Rishikesh says, what about Manasa Seva, like the Brahmana who burned his finger in meditation? Isn't that bhajan? Prabhupada says, Krishna makes no distinction, but if you serve Krishna by mind, he'll accept. That's for sure. Gurudev, whenever I mention anything about Rupa Nuga Bhakti, many of my god brothers get angry and say it's a bunch of Gaudiya Mat nonsense, and you never taught that. Things haven't changed. Things haven't changed a whole lot. Prabhupada said, everything is coming. They will also know. Is the Astakaliya Leela by Kaviraj Goswami the real Nitya Leela detail? Prabhupada, yes. Rishikesh, I would like to mention Astakaliya Leela in this shloka 10, Nectar of Instruction, so we can know from you the highest goal. What do you think? Prabhupada said, yes, you put it. How about these two slokas? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Krishnam Smaran, Seva Sadaka Rupena. I think they will enhance the purport of sloka 8. Is that okay? Yes. Gurudev, what about Rupa Nuga Bhakti? What is the eternal relationship between us, disciples, and you? Prabhupada quotes the sixth sloka of Guru Vashtakam. The Guru is serving under his master and you all do likewise. In Nitya Leela, every devotee thinks like that. My master is the most dear to Radha Krishna. Rishikesh. So that means my relationship with you is eternal? That it will continue in Nitya Leela? Yes, Rishikesh Ananda. As Manjaris? Prabhupada, down to Sakya. This is Prabhupada. Prabhupada, it was oneness and difference. But don't you downplay anything in the spiritual world. Prabhupada said, it's all a question of your bhava, your desire, your devotion. So down to Sakya. Rishikesh, but for Rupa Nuga, isn't it always Manjari bhava? Prabhupada, yes, that is the highest. But in the spiritual world, there's no such distinction. Everyone is Krishna conscious. Even the flowers, the clouds. Then he asks about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's spiritual name as a Manjari, and your guru too, isn't he? Prabhupada starts laughing. He said, you've learned too much. He says, we don't discuss these. I was there during this conversation with him. I was just a young child. Rishikesh, I don't know anything, Gurudev. I have heard about it. This is the main concern of devotees in the Gaudiya Mat. It pains me to hear my godbrothers criticize your godbrothers. Prabhupada said, who is saying like that? Many, Gurudev, they say there is only preaching. But what about Srila Saraswati Thakur? I heard
He was a Bhajanandi with no disciples. Kunjabahari, Tirtha Maharaj, found him and brought him out to preach, isn't it? Prabhupada said, yes, my Guru Maharaj came out to preach. Wasn't he already in Nityalila? How about Guru Kishor? Didn't he have only one disciple? Prabhupada said, yes, but he was one disciple better than a thousands of others. He's my Guru Maharaj. Thank you. He was my Guru Maharaj. This is how one has to feel about their Guru Maharaj. He was there in his Nityalila, but he kindly came down to preach. Then he asks about Krishnadas Babaji. Prabhupada says, Akinchana Krishnadas. Then Prabhupada says how he's a Bhajanandi. He's a Kinchana. So I just wanted to get those things. I thought it was very interesting. Back at that time, Srila Prabhupada's focus never changed for us. And that was, what do we have to do? Chant your 16 rounds. You follow the regulative principles and you follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. And what did he say? Everything you will get from your spiritual master. Everything will come. No separate endeavors. So there's definitely distinctions how Prabhupada saw and how others, some of his godbrothers, saw things. But he saw, you engage in devotional service, you help in his mission, everything is guaranteed. And he said it over and over and over. So I'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments, corrections, Mr. President.
Sometimes it's too much rules and regulations, you know, following all these things, kind of puts out the spontaneity of devotional service. You know, somebody, you know, you want it to be natural and, you know, feel the emotion, but so many rules and regulations seem very elementary, and sometimes the society has criticized it. We don't delve into the more esoteric and or, you know, mystical aspects of spiritual life. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, Srila Prabhupada is the example. He was on the highest level of perfection. But that's not to be shared with those that aren't. So just because someone's not saying something to you doesn't mean they don't have some realization. Maybe they have realization. And that's the point. Is, you know, Prabhupada said, you have learned too much. You know, these aren't book. It's not book knowledge. It's realization we have to have. And what I see with these rules and regulations, they're only rules and regulations because we're so fallen that to do these things, it's a rule. You know, Prabhupada said the four regulative principles, that's just human life. But for, it's rules and regulations because it's being human is not such an easy thing in Kali Yuga. So we can see, and I see, same thing in the morning of Mangal Arti, and I'm thinking, got to do this every day? And Prabhupada was the opposite. It was not sleeping. Okay? If you're not attached to sleep, you just want to serve. What's the question of rules and regulations? You're busy 24 hours a day serving. So the rules and regulations, it becomes very spontaneous. You know, Prabhupada, as soon as he walked into his house, you know the first thing he did? Who hasn't it? Very practical. He was outside, he walked into his house, he'd go in the bathroom and wash his feet. Simple. Everything is very simple and natural. Prabhupada said one time, I was in there, I would follow him. He said, when you do this, he said, the whole body becomes refreshed. Just sweet little, he gave little nectar bits here and there. You know, he also gave suggestions. And what I see, Prabhupada instructed us everything. What the chant, different Mangalarti, this, what the chant, what mantras to say, melodies, how to dance. We know his preferred style of dancing. We know his preferred style, and we think, well, Prabhupada, they were dancing like that in front of him. But what I saw in my own life and with others, Prabhupada would say once, he'd say twice, he'd say three times, and then he'd never say it again. So just because we were doing certain things in front of Prabhupada doesn't mean he approved it. What can I do? What was he going to spend 24 hours a day just correcting us? We all would have run away. You know? Like now, tell everyone there in their room, Mangalarti, the entire morning program from 4:30 to 9 o'clock, you're here or no breakfast. See how many people leave over the course of a week or two. But that's Prabhupada's program. So we can follow it or not follow it. But our business, if we want to get anywhere, you follow it. And as elder people in here, we have a duty to try to see that these things are carried on, especially here. Because I think everything starts here in this temple, and then it just spreads out. At least it should be like that. Yes?
Hare Krishna, thank you. According to Andrew Gurdwabu's question, we, you know, Srila Prabhupada never preached esoteric conceptions, and we also emphasize the point that you should never preach to someone higher than their realizations. So if you preach to somebody and give them the fundamentals of Krishna consciousness and they follow those fundamental processes, that's why we are sadhana bhaktis, eventually there will be a realization. You go to the base yourself and your realizations of Krishna will become more clear. However, it doesn't mean that you have to immediately try to convert or convey that realization to other people. If you keep it to yourself, that realization will continue to flourish.
And your preaching becomes more potency. Just like Prabhupada, he didn't speak, as you say, so many esoteric things, but he made thousands and thousands of followers because he was coming from that platform.
He was coming from that
platform. Right.
That's why the Mahamaya Party would come down to the level of the Mahamaya Party in order to preach to the Kanishka Adhikaris.
Yes. Yes. Chandrasekhar Prabhu?
Thank you. You mentioned the word personalism. That's a concept that I personally really love, and it's one of the reasons why I joined Krishna consciousness. I was wondering, when you said for Prabhupada or Krishna consciousness, everything is personal. I was just wondering if you could elaborate.
Yeah, I've said it many times here as well. You know, the other... Everything, like I said, when he saw the bead bag and he said, whose bead bag is crying there on the doorknob? Whose plate of prasadam is crying on the table? That's personal. See, that's spiritual. That's seeing with spiritual vision. Everything's Krishna. You know, Prabhupada smelt the jasmine flower, said, this is Krishna. You can't get more personal. So that it's most important. Neither is it artificial, but that was Prabhupada, why we all love Prabhupada. Like we say, don't trust anyone over 30. The 70-year-old man, we all trusted him because we saw he didn't want anything. I read that purport the other day. Prabhupada said, the pure devotee has no desires. His only desires are Krishna's desires. And I would see that. Prabhupada had no desires. Again, when I was with him, I cooked for him many, many times. I didn't cook for him in India in general. So I cooked for him, you know, I don't know, 500-600 lunches. He never criticized once what I prepared. And I know what I prepared. It was okay. Chapatis were very nice. Dal and rice, can't really mess that up if you know how to boil something. But I made sabjis that were very, you know, not, certainly not Bengali or not any kind of nice Indian style cuisine, Vedic cuisine. But Prabhupada ate every day. And I know he considered it very sattvic and healthy, not overly spiced, just tiny bit of ghee in the chaunts, like that. And he was pleased. So that's what we want to do. Somehow or other, you have to figure out how to please your spiritual master. And Prabhupada's open secret how to please him. There's no mysteries. No mysteries there. We see everyone, you know, Krishna conscious person, he sees Krishna everywhere. What to speak, he sees the devotees. One thing I read in this that I found most that I had to be most careful about was Prabhupada speaking about the residents of Vrindavan and those that are born in Vrindavan. And he always told us, be respectful and keep your distance. Pretty much he said that. He said that about everyone outside of his ISKCON society. Be respectful and keep your distance. Yeah, that was Prabhupada's mood. And if we can do that, all your success will be there. It requires faith. Prabhupada said, enthusiasm cannot be there without determination. Any other? Okay, we got this one and Prabhu here. Yes.
I have a question. Also, I found for a one answer, I'm going to do a question for Prabhu. Do you eat this or not?
It's okay, yeah, I guess.
This is from Ramana Sambhajita Chaitanya, 56 verse. Talks about Krishna and his pastimes, especially his pastimes in Vrindavan, and his dealings with the devotees are all very confidential. They are not subject matter for holy discussion, because those who have no understanding of the transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes always commit great offenses, thinking Krishna to be an ordinary human being and the devotees ordinary girls. Following the principle of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who never discussed the dealings between Krishna and devotees publicly, devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are enjoined not to discuss the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan in public. For the general public, Sankirtan is the most effective method of pervading Krishna consciousness. If possible, one should discuss the principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed this principle very strictly and discussed this philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita with learned scholars like Sarvabhauma Acharya and Krishna and Saraswati. However, he taught the principles of the Bhakti group to students like Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. And he discussed with Ramananda Raya the top most important dealings between Krishna and the devotees. For the general populace, he performs the Kirtana very vigorously. We must follow the principles of Krishna consciousness all over the world. What about Dhamma Sankhya? Can you please explain this?
What about what?
Dhamma is more about the devotee in your saying from this book. And the devotee asked about where also one jays, and he said, Dhamma Sankhya. I can't have this.
Dhamma Sankhya.
Yes.
He wants to know what that means.
What?
The servant, friend, servant, friend, parent, lover. Prabhupada's saying all of them, down to Sakya, because Rishikeshananda, after spending some years in the Gaudiya Math, says the devotees, that's all they are on highest level. Prabhupada says they're all highest level. It's a question of your choice, where you're affection lies. It's not anything else. We don't say this is higher than this. Prabhupada never spoke like that. But he had learned, you know, this concept somewhere else. But Prabhupada kept us away from that, making distinctions. This is better, this is worse. It's all best. That's what Prabhupada said. It's all the best. Okay. Okay. One, we can...
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for your class. I have a question in regards to what you read, which was in regards to the question that traveled to Prabhupada, where he was saying that you can also worship the Lord, given the explanation of the Brahmana that was offering mentally to the Lord, and the Lord accepted. So my question is, we chant the Gayatri Mantra mentally, we offer arti to the Lord mentally, and also we pray to the Lord through the mind. So why can't we also chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra inside? Why do we, you know, instead of chanting it like out, like chanting it so loudly outside, why do we emphasize on chanting it out? Why not inside? Because Gayatri Mantra, you chant it inside.
Japa, japa also, yes?
Yeah, that is, yeah. Why do we have to chant the japa out? That is the question.
Out?
Yeah, verbally.
We don't have to chant loudly.
As opposed to in the mind.
Vibrate the tongue, right? The tongue's moving. We say Krishna is dancing on your tongue, so it means your tongue is moving. Right? So we, you know, many times devotees, they ask, a few times I was with Prabhupada when they said, you know, how to control the mind, right? When you chant, Prabhupada said, you chant with the tongue, you hear with the ear. He didn't bring mind into the equation. It's a process of chanting with our mouth. Prabhupada chanted very quietly when he did japa. He said we could chant loudly japa when you're in public forum. But Prabhupada was a gentleman. Prabhupada understood all situations. So he wasn't sitting on the airplane, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, so that everyone around was benefited by it. You'd barely see his lips moving, his fingers moving. The mind, just like when we travel, I have Giriraj. So we bring him when we travel. So I'm not able to do my physical service with my body. You then do it with your mind. You know, it's not... I knew one devotee at Giriraj. He decided, he left him in Mayapur. He didn't want to stay in Mayapur. But he figured he could just leave the Giriraj there in the altar, go back to the USA and do mind. Bathe him, feed him with his mind day after day after day. No, that's not the process. That's when you can't do the other way. I said it was in, you know, 1971, I was arrested along with other devotees for chanting in the street. And it was Sunday. They put us in jail Sunday morning in Alabama. Alabama is a very famous state. Anyway, there was like six of us in the jail and it was Sunday. So we decided we were going to have a Sunday feast. So we all sat there in the cell, sat on the floor cross-legged. Everyone had a preparation. They were preparing for the feast in their mind. And we did it. You know, we sat. And of course, police are looking as crazy people with shaved heads and, you know, and they're all sitting there on the floor. But that wasn't the good part. The good part was after we cooked everything and offered it. Then I distributed it to everyone. Everyone was sitting down on the floor in the jail cell, and we had puris and halava and sweet rice. There wasn't anything, but it was all there in our mind. That's how we did it. So that process is there. But that's when you can do it using, it's not an excuse, I'll just sit back in my room all day. I can watch Mangal Artik on the internet. We hear class on the internet. I can just imagine, you know, Prabhupada coming back and saying, where were you at class? Oh, I was watching it on the internet, Prabhupada. Yeah, that would go over really big. So these things we all know. We all know this stuff. So that's the process. It's a gradual process. Gopal is going to give you a little explanation because I'm not very good at answering questions.
You only got 8 more years before you're double?
Nine.
You're 80, right?
Yeah, 80. Yes.
The point is for your question, utilizing the mind, the soul, the chanting of Hare Krishna, we do it externally in kirtans, and we do it more softly by doing japa. But the Maha Mantra should be like a loop on a tape that's continually playing. Even when you're sleeping, the chanting of that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra should be there, and you should be hearing it even in your sleep. So if you're serious, sometimes you'll even wake yourself up in the middle of your sleep and begin chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
You know, he told me this morning, Mangal Arati, he said his joy is taking care of his Giriraj. That's his joy. But still he's here at Mangal Arati, he's here at class, he's here for Guru Puja. And it's not always easy for us to be here. Sometimes we fall down the stairs, we got problems. But this is how we understand our spiritual master. This is what we do for Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.